Canucks Central Thursday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Mobile Kintec studio at Rogers Arena as the Canucks return home to take on the LA Kings. Kintec, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet, what are you waiting for? Visit kintec.net. And this hour of Canuck Central is brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Every Vancouver hockey game gets $5 pints of Molson Canadian or Coors Light, plus weekly prize giveaways all season long at your local Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. It's felt like ages, certainly for me, since I've been in the rink, given I was away for the holidays and not here to enjoy some of those games around the holiday break. But it's been a while since the Canucks have been in the friendly, but at times not so friendly, confines of their home rink.
What confines have been friendly recently for the Canucks? Wins have been very few and far between. They've been difficult to come by. And what was once a home problem has now become an abroad problem, because the Canucks on the road obviously didn't have the success they wanted on that five-game road trip. But it's one of those things, man. Like, I just want to see them get on a run.
Yeah.
Like, I'm really tired of this kind of Jekyll and Hyde reaction every time they win a game to every time they lose a game. Like, compare the discussions that we were having after the Toronto win to the conversation that was being had yesterday after the loss in Winnipeg. Like, should the reaction be that different after one game? That just kind of tells you where we're at, right?
It does, to a certain extent. And I think a big part of it is every time they put together a good performance, you're expecting them, or there's a feeling that, oh, this is the turning point. Oh, this is when it's finally going to click.
Yeah.
Oh, this is where it happens. This is where they find themselves, just like they were a year ago early on when they went on a bunch of streaks early on in the season through the first few months and built that nice cushion atop the Pacific Division. But every time that they've gotten one of these nice wins, they've followed it up with a pretty terrible loss. And that was no different with the Toronto win versus the Winnipeg loss. All right, let's get to it. It's the Open on Canuck Central.
Welcome to the Open.
Oh! That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
It's the Open on Canuck Central, the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. And yes, Canucks have returned home. Yes, there is a retribution angle to tonight's matchup against the LA Kings. Tanner Jeannot, in the first meeting between these two clubs, with a nasty head hit on Brock Besser, knocked Besser out of the lineup for six games. Jeannot was given a three-game suspension. But we'll get to that in just a moment. We'll focus on Brock Besser, who is grouped in with JT Miller and Elias Pettersson in the conversation of the Canucks needing more of their top players lately, and Besser, his goals have dried up a little bit, but in totality, he is still the team's leading 5-on-5 goal scorer this year, so he's held up that end of the bargain over the course of the season. He's done a lot of things well. We've seen the good of Brock Besser for much of this season, but also we've seen some of those reasons why you might be hesitant to lock him into that big money long-term deal. Sat, where are we with Brock Besser right now?
I think that's the big question. Where are the Canucks and Brock Besser? As far as I know, so far things haven't really gone that deep negotiation-wise yet, where they're at any stage where they're close, or that we're talking about anything being imminent on a new contract extension. And the question is going to be, at what point do the Canucks put their best foot forward with him? And as much as you can look at it as, okay, well, the Canucks can always hold on to Besser and figure it out in the offseason, you can always do that. But considering how the season's gone, considering where this team is trying to be, can they let a player walk for free, for nothing? And we know they didn't do that with Horvat. They didn't do that with Pettersson, who was a year away from RFA, right? Yep. Even with JT, they got to figure it out. And as much as they let Lindholm walk last year, it was different because they traded for him and they had to work out a contract extension, and ultimately it didn't work out, but they offered him a pretty significant contract still. With Besser, I just have a hard time seeing them risking him walking for free.
It's so hard. Like, I think we need to assess as we get closer to March 7th, because if you're planning on doing anything in the playoffs, how do you do that without Brock Besser? Can you move Besser and bring something else in that helps you in the forward group? Maybe there is that possibility. But you're in a situation where I'm not sure the alternatives are all that great. You know what I'm saying?
No, I get what you're saying. You're not wrong. But at the same time, like, where are you uncomfortable to go contract-wise? Because as much as there aren't other options, if you are uncomfortable going beyond a certain term or a certain number,
yeah,
you're also taking away potential possibilities. Maybe you don't see the possibility 6 months from now, but there might be a possibility 9 months from now, right?
Yeah.
Or 12 months from now, potentially, right? I think those are the things that might be available to you, and how willing are you to block yourself off from those things?
There are... If you lock into Brock Besser at $8 million, now you're, like, really shortening your buying power in the offseason. But your buying power is limited to mostly trade acquisitions, because I look at free agency and I say, Sat, like, what's out here? Are you really going to be in a market for Mikko Rantanen or Mitch Marner if they even were to make it to free agency? Both of which I think is very unlikely. Players of that caliber rarely make it to unrestricted free agency. I'm still expecting, even through all the speculation, that Mikko Rantanen does get signed in Colorado some way, somehow, and it's probably at $12.5 million, just a shade under where Nathan MacKinnon is. But we'll see how it plays out over the next little while. Beyond that, I mean, you know, we're talking Jamie Benn's a free agent. We've got Sam Bennett, who might be a free agent. There's no real big-time scorers out there. And so if you're saying, yeah, Brock's not that guy for us, or we think we can spend that $8 million better somewhere else, somehow else, I really have a tough time seeing where those options are. And then so as much as I'm willing to have this conversation about, yeah, I worry about what an 8-year term looks like for Brock Besser, if you want to contend over the next few years, that just might be a problem you're going to have to live with Brock Besser, because there's not many better alternatives.
So what is your walkaway number? Because I don't want to give Brock – if I'm going 8 years for Besser, I'm not doing $8 million. I just don't like it.
So you give him what, JT money or eight times 7.5?
I think 7.5 is
that's
kind
60
of,
million total dollars.
Yeah, which is a lot of money. It's a lot of money. Now,
less than Travis Konecny.
Yeah, and it's only $4 million less than what Gensel got last year.
Yeah, $3 million less actually.
It's $3 million. There you go. Even less. $3 million less. Yeah. So it's in the same ballpark.
Yeah.
It's certainly not. And you can talk about taxes all you want in Florida. Straight up money-wise, it's in the same ballpark.
Yeah.
And I don't think that they're comparable players. I think Gensel is a superior player.
Sam Reinhart is in the $8 million range. Now, say what you will about Florida taxes and all that, but, you know, it's still not a good-looking comp for Brock Besser's camp that Sam Reinhart signed in that range.
No, and he can argue that he deserves to get the Konecny deal. We've talked about this because of the points per game, the totals, everything he's done. He has an argument for it. I just don't see that happening in Vancouver, and I don't want to see it happen in Vancouver.
Yeah,
I think if you can get him at I think the Hronek contract is kind of what I would love to see, 7.25, probably not realistic, but 7.5 I think it's a fair AAV, but the total money wise, like even if he gets 9 times 7 in free agency, it's only $3 million more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that, like, we're talking about a very competitive offer, and I don't go beyond that. I think going beyond that is foolishness.
You're testing Brock and his, you know, for as much as there's been this notion that he wants to stay in Vancouver, in contract negotiations, if you're this Canucks front office, I guess you're going to try and put that to the test.
Yeah, and I think the bigger question too is how far are the Canucks willing to go? Because they can probably get that AAV under 8 if they go 8 years. Do they want to go 8 years or Brock? And that's going to be what's going to be fascinating about where these things go. I know it's been reported, Dollywall mentioned that maybe initial discussions were closer to that four-year range, which Besser's not taking that. Like, Besser may not get the Gensel deal, yeah, but he's definitely getting close to $8 million over $7 in free agency. Like, that's happening in free agency, right? So, like, the Canucks, if they want to keep him, they have to go 7 to 8 years, and the AAV is going to have to be $7 to $8 million. Like, that's just the reality of keeping Brock Besser. Because I don't think Besser is, as much as he wants to stay in Vancouver, is he willing to sign for 4 to 5 years?
Yeah. That seems unlikely for Brock Besser. And maybe the play is for the Canucks front office. You really try to push that, hey, the salary cap's going to go up in 4 years' time. If you're still a valuable player at age 32 or whatever that would take you to, you can still collect another decent contract even at age 32, and that's the argument you're trying to make, maybe in negotiations. But
I mean, here's the thing: Besser has already signed 2-3 year contracts off his ELC.
Yeah,
like, I would imagine he'd love to get something done long term and just finally have that long term contract taken care of.
Does the JT contract get it done? That's 8x7.
That's $56 million.
$8 million AAV over 7 years.
I mean,
would you be willing to go $8 million for 7 years?
That's kind of, I mean, that's what he can get in free agency. It's going to be between $50 to $56 million. I mean, the high water mark would be 63 that Gensel got, right?
Yeah.
Which is still unlikely, but nonetheless, that's kind of where
there's going to be some teams with a lot of cap space at.
But that's what he's looking
at. Anaheim's got lots of money to spend. Columbus is going to have a ton of money to spend.
100%. I don't disagree with that. But at the same time, like, he's a non-driver too, and I think that is fairly well known.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's not a guy who's going to create and drive on his own. Konechny, you watch him, he's doing it on his own. You watch Gensel, he does it on his own. Reinhardt does it on his own. Like, Besser hasn't shown.
Is he more like a Jeff Skinner type?
Yeah, I think he's. And not Jeff Skinner now, but Jeff Skinner.
When he got his big money deal with Buffalo, which turned out to be a disaster contract for the Buffalo Sabres.
Yeah, because it paid him to be a guy to be the focal point of their offense, and he wasn't that.
Yeah.
You know, he's a nice complimentary scorer. You put him with a good player, he'll give you 30, 40 goals. That's great.
Yeah.
But you need to kind of have that center to put him with. Because if you don't put him with that center, he's probably not going to drive offense for you the same way. So I'm somewhat skeptical about him getting, the Gensel contract.
Yeah.
But that's what we're talking about here. So is he willing to stay in Vancouver bad enough to sign a contract that is well below his market value? I mean, you can say a player wants to stay here all you want, but the difference between $10 to $12 million to $20 million is significant. Like, that's what we're talking about here when we say 4 to 5 years versus 7-8 years. It's anywhere from $20 to $30 million difference.
Yeah, and it's, the idea that Brock can still get another 3 or 4 year deal coming out of that. Yeah, it's nice in theory, but it's still maybe at the stage of your career where you'd rather take the security than bet on yourself type of scenario that we've seen some other players do. I think this is really tied into just the entire team and what the next 6 weeks looks like in the lead up to the trade deadline here. Where is this team 4 weeks from now? Are they more solidified in a playoff spot? Are they still on the outside looking in? If you're on the outside looking in, even just a little bit, and still looking like a very middling team that doesn't have much promise to make any kind of noise in the postseason, is there a reason to keep Brock Besser, or do you try to look at this in the St. Louis Blues way the year before they won the Stanley Cup, traded away guys like Kevin Shattenkirk, reloaded a little bit, and then were able to prosper from that, build a stronger team the next year for a Stanley Cup run? I think that's sort of the crossroads that the Canucks are looking at right now, where maybe this is just a year where we try to collect a couple of extra assets and see how we can rejig the puzzle pieces in the summer.
I think the deadline is going to be the big pressure point, right? Obviously. And you have until then to really figure out what you want to be. But is it a coincidence that their lack of form and the fact that there hasn't been a lot, at least, reportedly so far, a lot done between the parties? Like, it's very much a holding pattern for the time being.
Because
you probably want to let this play out a little bit before you make any real big decisions here. But I don't think this is something that has to be figured out before the Four Nations, but I think once the Four Nations comes and goes,
yeah,
we're kind of going to be in a sprint until the deadline, and that's where the pressure is going to be on teams to make their decisions, and that's where I'm anticipating the Canucks and Brock Besser really get down to business and put their best foot forward. Like, yeah, the Canucks, I do think there's an earnest desire for the Canucks to keep Brock Besser, right? But
it's got to be at the right number.
Yeah, and I think you have to put your best foot forward to really get things going, and that's what I expect to happen once they come back from the Four Nations.
They laid out the red carpet for Elias Pettersson and essentially said, you know, we want to sign you. We're willing to pay whatever it's going to take to get you to sign a long-term deal to remain a Vancouver Canuck. With Filip Hronek, for a while they tried to drive a hard bargain, but they knew all right, there's not many better alternatives. We might just have to come up to Filip Hronek's number and get that deal done.
Yeah, because the draft was a pressure point. Like, I don't think the Canucks wanted to head into the final year of his contract just,
yeah,
you know, trying to figure out a one-year deal in arbitration.
Yeah.
You know, like, that was, I don't think, something they really wanted to do, and his value wasn't going to increase.
Yeah. You were in a really tough spot there. Harder to find right shot D. With Besser, I mean, look, a lot of front offices – they're going to say, okay, there's not a ton of great options out here, but we feel better about being able to fill wing positions than we do center and defense. And I think that's maybe part of the equation here with Brock Besser. This text from Bob and Burnaby: they might be surprised, and the team does better. Keeping Besser is just keeping the same as the last 6 to 7 years. Another text: if Brock can get more, good for him. I like him as a person, but he's not a driver of play, and he's not worth $64 million. This one from Renfrew Marco: Brock's money needs to be reallocated to defense and center ice, regardless of how much he'll take. So a lot of move on from Besser,
yeah,
from the listeners of the program.
Yeah, even Kristen Langley says it's crazy talk, giving Besser anywhere near the money that's being talked about. That's the reality of the cost to keep Besser. The question is, do you think it's worthwhile doing so? And I know, Reach, you have concerns, and so do I, about replacing that player because there's the scarcity of those guys. But I'm ultimately more willing to let a Brock Besser go than I am to, like, make a negative trade involving JT or Pettersson, you know, because I think those players are so much harder to replace, whereas I do think you can, over time, replace Besser, whether that's internally with Lekkerimäki figuring it out in a year or two, or whether that's you finding somebody in a year or two. Still, there's a number I want to keep him at, right?
Yeah.
Like, we just talked about, you know, what's comfortable, what's uncomfortable, but I would be far more willing to figure things out without Besser than I would be other players.
More from our live listeners. This one, Marty the Red: I like Brock, but Lekkerimäki seems like the perfect replacement. Some change is good. Change is needed. Get younger. Change the mix a bit before the team becomes stale.
Yeah, and somebody saying there's no risk in trading anybody. Brock, JT, Pettersson, they've done nothing. So you have that as well.
There is risk because it's hard to find good players.
Yeah. Okay, so on Besser, what's the, you know, before we move on here to the roundup real quick, which, if you don't keep him, what is his trade value? He'd be the top winger on the trade market.
I feel like as a rental, like, Gensel's a hard sort of comp because Pittsburgh just ended up taking a bunch of different types of prospects. None were really a premium asset out of the Carolina Hurricanes.
But I think they could have gotten a first if they wanted to, but they prioritized the prospects.
Yeah.
So, like, I do think he has a late first-round pick value at the deadline. The question is it going to be a pick, or is it going to be a prospect or a young player that has commensurate value?
Doesn't hurt that Brock scored 7 playoff goals last
year.
Yeah,
it doesn't. But, I mean, I think that's kind of, you know, what did Lindholm go for? Forget the, like, you know, the picks and all those things. Let's just say the first round pick and a prospect.
Yeah.
Like, that's probably the high-end,
late
first.
Not a true blue chip prospect,
no,
but a prospect.
Yeah,
but
like
a decent prospect.
Yeah, like a Brustevich the Canucks gave up for Lindholm. You know, I know there was a third round pick involved as well, but you probably don't get the third, but you're probably doing, you know, something along those lines. Like, that's what I would think would be kind of the valuation.
You could even make the argument the third was to also account for them taking on Andrei Kuzmenko's big-time money in that trade. All right, lots of texts coming in. Love them. We'll try to get to as many as we can as the show goes on here live from Rogers Arena at Stan Riccio and Satyar Shah. Into the Canucks Central Roundup. Sasson, Lekkerimäki, and Brisebois all back up from Abbotsford, so the Canucks continuing to work the salary transactions and trying to make it work and toll as much cap space as they can. But Lekkerimäki maybe in for a bigger opportunity playing next to Elias Pettersson and Jake DeBrusk today at practice ahead of tonight's matchup with the Kings.
Yeah, and I thought what Lekkerimäki has done well is even though he's been put down the lineup a little bit, he's done a good job in playing to the team's staples. He's done a good job along the boards, and he's a smart player, responsible player. So I think there is some trust slowly kind of building here. And I think Pettersson right now is clearly ahead of where JT is. Like, JT last couple of games has really been off. Pettersson had the good game in Toronto and obviously was not as nearly good enough in Winnipeg like everybody on the team. They weren't nearly good enough against the Jets. But he's probably the center playing better right now. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited to see what Lekkerimäki can do alongside of him.
Vincent Desharnais was in the lineup ahead of Noah Juulsen, who is a game-time decision, according to Rick Tocchet, is dealing with a little bit of something. But it was Vincent Desharnais, after the last meeting with the LA Kings, that did allude to the idea that somebody would take care of Tanner Jeannot in the next meeting between the LA Kings and Vancouver Canucks.
Yeah, and we'll see if Desharnais is actually in or not. But I would be surprised if we don't see Jeannot fight somebody tonight.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's going to happen. Now, whether you want to see that or not, and I know there are people that do want to see it, if I had to wager on the likelihood of it happening, I'd say it's more likely than not.
I honestly, I don't think it's that big of a deal, but maybe we can debate this a little bit later on in the show as we are a little bit short on time. Demko getting the start in net for the Vancouver Canucks here against the LA Kings, who have just one goal in their last two games, both losses in Calgary and Edmonton. Have gotten some texts about JT Miller's media availability today and our take on it. The biggest takeaway I had from JT's media availability is that he continues to reiterate that he is not injured and he's good to play. Also, Rick Tocchet said the same thing, that JT is not hurt.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen JT be like this before. That doesn't justify it, but it's not like I'm shocked to see JT, you know, was the way he was, right? What has complicated everything is none of us really know why he went away, because he hasn't divulged it, and it's his right. He doesn't have to divulge what's going on, you know, in his own mind, his own personal life, or whatever the reason was for him to step away. We know it was the player taking time to step away.
Yeah.
So whatever he's dealing with is clearly still dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
And he's playing, which means you got to perform. How willing are you to deal with all these things? And that's ultimately going to be the question. But, I mean, considering where JT was, he had to miss 10 games because of a leave of absence. Am I shocked that he doesn't look like he's right all the time?
Yeah.
I'm not. That doesn't justify it, but, like, I think there's a clear correlation. I don't know the causality because none of us know exactly what happened, right?
Yeah.
And even if we know some things, we can't say fully because these are private things. And if you get into medical things, you got to be careful and all that. But nonetheless, like, you're talking about somebody dealing with something himself, and he's clearly still dealing with it to some degree, right? And I think it becomes difficult to figure out when he's going to turn out of this, because that's kind of unknown, right?
Well, and what you're seeing in these media availabilities is reporters doing their jobs and trying to get some kind of intel on what has been going on, what continues to go on with JT, and him being really reluctant to share almost anything that might, you know, lead us to speculation, that might lead us to a different kind of discussion. He's trying not to leave any crumbs. And JT is also going to generally be effusive when he does these types of things. And so I get where people are coming from and the frustration with how this is all playing out. But ultimately, he doesn't have to divulge his reasons for leave of absence. That's between him and the team. and no one else.
It's true. And at the same time, when you don't give the details, and that's within your right, and I'm not saying you should, and your performance on the ice, which is fair game,
yes,
isn't where it needs to be, and you see the body language stuff, it creates questions. It creates other discussions, right? And that's the thing about it. And ultimately, it's the same story with everything. You start winning and performing better, this all quiets down. But that's been a struggle for this team.
He was asked about his lack of playing time in these last couple of games, or a shortage of playing time, considering what his numbers are usually at in his Canucks career. And he essentially just said that he needs to play better. Mm-hmm. So that was that with JT Miller today. I'm sure we'll have more discussion about it. We'll also play that media availability a little bit later on if you did miss it from earlier today. Mystery solved. Watch all new seasons of your favorite true crime shows on Investigation Discovery. Available on Channel 413 on Rogers Xfinity TV. Well, the Utah Hockey Club, the Utahns, were connected to the Vancouver Canucks in potential trade rumors. We'll talk to Cole Bagley about that next. And Brandon Astle, Abbotsford play-by-play, he'll join us as well in the next segment to talk about some of those players up and coming with the Farm Club. That's next on Canucks Central.